VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It certainly is. Mark Melusis with you. Another hour left to play with, taking it right up until high noon East Coast time, 9 o'clock on the Pacific, 9 o'clock out west, I should say. Brandon Kravitz kicks off this third and final hour in style, RotoWire. Let's talk a little bit about the association back in the fold. Brandon, thanks for the time this morning. All-Star Weekend in the rearview mirror here. We're well past the halfway point when you look at the NBA regular season. What are some interesting storylines before we get into kind of some futures and what you like individually today? What are some storylines you're going to be following here in terms of second half that you think people should keep an eye on?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Mark. I appreciate it. I think number one is the return of Jason Tatum potentially and what that looks like, because this Celtics team has gotten by a whole lot better than I think any of us envisioned that they would. There was this thought at the beginning of the season that they might even go into tank mode and kind of do what the Indiana Pacers are doing. And they have passed this without Tatum test with flying colors. So what does that look like if they are able to get him back? And it looks like they're targeting a couple weeks from now, I think a March 1st date, which is just sort of mind blowing. And you see them climbing up in the Eastern Conference futures because of it. And one of the short shots to win the NBA championship. That's one of them. The MVP market is fascinating. You had Cade Cunningham drop 40 double-digit assists in a big win. Whenever you get a big win over the Knicks at MSG with the world paying attention, that is going to definitely draw some eyeballs. And we saw some odds shift in the MVP market for Cade, so that'll be fascinating. Jokic can only miss one more game before he's not even eligible, so there is still some value on Cade Cunningham to win the award. And then what the Spurs are able to do, because this is a team that feels like age-wise, they are a year or two ahead of schedule. But when you have a player as gifted as Victor Wembanyama, I think the timeline starts immediately. And that's what we're learning and watching this team play and grow.
I'm curious when you look at the, and let's start there where you ended, Brandon, talking about the San Antonio Spurs. Now, we were talking off the air before we came on. You had a 60-1 ticket on San Antonio before the start of the year. Is it just three deep in terms of Western Conference contention to get to the NBA Finals?
I think it's a little bit longer than that. You have OKC obviously is kind of in a class by themselves, but they look vulnerable this year. Now, we've seen this in the past in the NBA where a team that is clearly better than everybody else, you think of those Lakers teams with Shaq and Kobe that would kind of coast through the regular season, and we would all have question marks about whether or not they were going to be able to make it back to the finals, and they would flip that switch. That is certainly possible. OKC has spent time without Jalen Williams this year. Right now, they're spending time without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Chet has missed games. So we could be overrating that, but they do look vulnerable. And the Spurs are one of those teams that have been able to accentuate those vulnerabilities. So clearly that puts San Antonio in the driver's seat as a clear contender, because if you can beat OKC, you can beat anybody. The Denver Nuggets have the best player in the world, arguably, in Nikola Jokic. And I think they have the best supporting cast they've had around him since they won the championship. So I think they're a legitimate threat. And I would put Minnesota in there. They're 17-1, probably the best value on the board when you look at their upside defensively, the guys like Naz Reid around Anthony Edwards that can help keep your offense afloat when you get into those rough and tough playoff series in the Western Conference. So when you have a star like Ant and you have the defensive upside and an anchor like Rudy Gobert, I think that that's a team that can push through. They also have a lot of playoff experience. This team's been playing a lot of hard-nosed playoff series over the years. Houston, I have a lot of question marks about, because I just don't think their offensive upside has reached the caliber of team that can make it to the finals. So to me, it's four deep. I'll go OKC, Denver, San Antonio, Minnesota. I don't really take anybody else seriously in the West.
How do you feel about your 60-1 take on Spurs?
I feel great about it. I made the decision at the beginning of the season. I made that bet before the year got started, and we saw what it looked like. It was very early on in the season where you went, okay, this is a ticket that we're going to be able to kind of ride to the end here. And maybe it doesn't cash for us, but I certainly feel good about it and have since the start of the season. The baseline thinking is this: sometimes we overcomplicate this stuff, especially when it comes to this league that we love in the NBA. If you have the best player on the planet, you've got a legitimate chance to win the championship every single year. when you see a 60-1 on a San Antonio Spurs team with Victor Wembanyama, who's not the best player yet, but you can see it coming. And I would rather be ahead of that than behind it. Think about whether it's Jokic or Giannis when he was on his way up, or go back to when Michael Jordan started chipping away at some of the best teams in the league. How great would it have been to be the guy holding the ticket on MJ or Kobe or any of these players to win a championship before it became obvious? Because once the Spurs take over the NBA, friends, it's done. Okay. So they are going to win championships with Wemby. They're going to win multiple titles, and I'm going to keep taking long numbers on him as long as they exist. But based on what we see right now in the market and what we're likely to see moving forward, those days may already be over. So I'm going to enjoy my 160-1 on Wemby to win a championship, and then we'll never get odds like that again.
Brandon, let's move over to the East. You know, there's four teams at the top of the betting marketplace, to get through the Eastern Conference. Obviously, you've got Boston with the potential of the return of Tatum, the Knicks, the Pistons, who continue to have statement games. You mentioned about the brilliance of Cade Cunningham. And then you get the Cavaliers, and everybody seems to be that James Harden, a terrible, historically speaking, playoff performer, is now going to be the missing piece for the Cleveland Cavaliers. What's your take? Who would you fade of those four?
To me, it's the Cavs. I think, really, if you put any of these teams in the driver's seat, I would just say fade the driver, because you got a lot of backseat drivers here that are basically going to dictate how this thing looks. I love the Celtics right now. Love them even more, obviously, when Tatum comes back. They have proven that they can go all the way. Their three-point barrage and their ability to lock down defensively, really hard to contend with. And Joe Mazzulla is one of the best going as far as coaches. The Pistons, they knocked on the door of a playoff series win last year, but they were just not ready for the moment. This year, they have taken it to the Knicks, and that was the team that eliminated them last year. So I think that that's a tell that this team is ready to actually compete and go deep into the playoffs. Cade Cunningham has clearly taken that next step. And I still think the Knicks are the best of all of them. I think they have arguably the best starting five in the NBA. And they're one of those teams, offensively, they're one of the best in the NBA. They have the most clutch player in the league in Jalen Brunson. And they're good enough defensively to get by. The Cavs, I still have major question marks about their ability to stay healthy. Evan Mobley's still not on the floor. And I worry about them defensively. I worried about them when they had Garland. Then they swapped out Garland for James Harden, another minus defender, and a guy, as you mentioned, who's never done anything in the playoffs in his career. So why in the world? And they still have to figure out chemistry. It looks good right now, but there's no saying that it's going to when you get to the postseason and all these teams know each other. They know themselves so well. A Cavs team that I still worry about defensively that has to figure themselves out with injury concerns should not be the favorite in the Eastern Conference.
All right, Brandon, we have about 3.5 minutes left to play with. Let's look at the association tonight. Let's look at it from a total perspective. Anything when you're looking at the NBA slate tonight that you like it in terms of over-unders?
Yeah, I love the Magic Suns under 220. We're seeing some 219.5s pop up. I think that's fine as long as it stays north of 218. I think you're good to play this. This game has rock fight written all over it, Mark. And I love the fact that we're getting a Magic team that just set a franchise record for made threes in a game, 27. They hit that on Thursday against the Sacramento Kings. So there's some pretty obvious regression in store. And I fear that this one could hit them pretty hard. You couple that with the fact that Phoenix is a top tier defensive team, specifically on their home floor. The overall stats aren't great, but when they're in Phoenix, for some reason, it is a house of horrors for opposing teams. Only the Rockets are hitting the under at a higher rate on their home court. 68% of games in Phoenix go under. So both of these teams, slow pace, regression for the Magic, and a Phoenix team that plays well at home. This has underwritten all over it.
All right, how about Philadelphia and New Orleans? The Sixers laying 3.5 on the road.
Yeah, I like the Pelicans plus the 3.5. This one's pretty gross, but we got to do. Philly has been awful recently. Joel Embiid is out again, and I don't see it getting any better here for them. They've lost 4 of their last 5. They've lost their last 3 by double digits, and now they're going on the road and laying 3.5. No thank you on that. You get the second night of a back-to-back for the Pelicans, so that's a little bit of the discount built in here. mind you, Zion has been playing back-to-backs. He's played the last three back-to-backs for the New Orleans Pelicans, so I'm not worried about him missing here. But I also think that back-to-backs matter significantly less when you're handicapping after the All-Star break. And if you go back the beginning of the season and after the All-Star break, and the psychology of this is simple. You have 8 days of rest from your last game until you get through the All-Star break. Back-to-backs are far less taxing after that than they are in the middle of January. So I don't downgrade teams as much. The Pels got embarrassed last night too. No travel for them. They stay in New Orleans. Nice bounce back spot for them against Philadelphia.
Brandon, about 20, 25 seconds. Anything from a player prop perspective today?
Yeah, I'm looking the way of Alperen Şengün under 26.5 points plus rebounds. This has just been a really rough month for him. And when he goes up against the upper echelon teams, especially teams that have good rebounding, which the Knicks absolutely do with Kat and Mitchell Robinson, he's been getting swallowed whole. He had 19 points and one rebound when he played against Detroit, another fabulous rebounding team. And that was in the middle of January. Charlotte absolutely dominated him. That's another team that can mop up the glass. It's just something's off with him. Ankle injury related, perhaps, but I'll go under 26.5 points plus boards.
Brandon Kravitz from RotoWire. Brandon, thanks for the time this morning. Certainly appreciate it.
Enjoy the rest of your day, my friend.
Stop paying. You as well. Stop paying full price for gas. Download the free Upside app and earn real cash back for every time you fill up. It's quick, easy, actually adds up. Drivers earn $200 to $300 a year just by buying the gas they already needed. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code Saturday for a limited time 25-cent per gallon bonus. Offer varies by user and location. See upside.com for details.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
It is the Weekend Morning Line. Mark Melusis with you right here on this Saturday in a big gold medal game coming your way tomorrow morning. 8:10 face-off over in Milan, Italy, as the United States men's team will take on the Canadian team. The United States are getting right now plus 105. The Canadian team minus 125 to win the gold medal matchup. Steve Koulias, SiriusXM NHL Network Radio joins us now. Hey, Steve, Mark Melusis with you right here on VSiN. Thanks for the time this morning. Certainly appreciate it.
No problem. I'm in the hockey basement. I cleaned up. There was beer bottles. I mean, this place, people will be drinking what you call Bloody Marys, what we call Caesars. 6 a.m, the crowd will arrive. Eastern time, gold medal game, Canada-USA. Goes back to the Canada Cups and World Cups. I can't wait, Mark. I can't wait.
Yeah, Steve, I can't wait either. And I was just up in Quebec. I enjoy a nice Caesars in the morning, mixing the clam juice with it. It's great. It's delicious. I mean, it's fantastic. Steve, let's talk about what should you keep an eye out on before we get into the terms of selections. You think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. What do you, from your expert eye, Steve, what are you going to be keeping an eye out tomorrow morning when this one gets going?
Well, I mean, I called the Four Nations for SiriusXM, the gold medal game or the final matchup. A penalty each, a power play each. So over under on power plays, you know, it's like 2.5. That's just the way it goes. The refs don't want to decide the game. The players don't want to decide the game. I think the ideology that there's going to be, you know, a fight or anything that allows someone to get an elbowing penalty or high sticking penalty, I don't buy that. So I'm looking at traditionally a 2-1 type game, maybe a 3-2 game. If it is a little higher scoring and open up later in the hockey game, then 4-3, which would be a maximum score. I was in Vancouver for the Sidney Crosby game, 1-0 Canada Taves, 2-0 Corey Perry, U.S. battled back, tied it with under a minute to go, and then we had the golden goal by Sidney Crosby. So I'm looking at a 3-2 type score, a very close game. The teams are very even. Canada has more issues going into the game than the United States. Let's make that clear. To me, it would be an absolute pick 'em, with the U.S. maybe being slight favorites in my mind with the injury situation facing Mark Team Canada.
Yeah, when you look at those injuries, obviously top of the list for Team Canada is the availability, potentially or not, of their captain, Sidney Crosby. Steve, do you think Sid the Kid gives it a go tomorrow?
I think if he gives it a go, he will be less than, well, 87%, let's say. I think the realism of him being able to play 6 minutes, you know, two shifts here, two shifts there as it relates to each period, and is the 13th forward, that would be the maximum situation. Sid got hurt back in 09, had Dan Bylsma on my show. He was a Penguins coach then. He gave it one shift, and then he said he couldn't go. You can't give it one shift. And that was when the Penguins won their first Stanley Cup. I think the realism is Sid will make a decision either today or early tomorrow, which says that he would hurt the team more than he would help them. And the fact that he would be dressed and stand on the bench takes a spot from somebody else. So realistically, I have it less than, you know, 20% chance that he could play and contribute, which then means what happens with McKinnon? Does he center his own line? Does he play with McDavid on the super line, the Gretzky-Lemieux line of 87 Canada Cup? So what happens with Suzuki? And if Crosby doesn't go, that thins the lineup just a little bit, that allows the U.S. to get better matchups. And that could be a key mark tomorrow.
Steve, if he doesn't give it a go, I want to ask you, from your expert opinion, what do you think does happen with McKinnon? How do you think Cooper then handles it?
At the beginning, McKinnon gets his own line with a Horvat and maybe Seth Jarvis. Wilson starts with Celebrini and McDavid. We have Suzuki for sure with Marner and Stone. And then it's a mixed bag, bits and bytes. You put your hand in, you never know what you're going to get out as it relates to the remaining forwards. And then how the game goes, Wilson will go down and join the other new line that was formed, the bang and crash line that we saw with Bennett and Marchand, which scored a huge goal, obviously, bit of a controversial goal, I guess. And then the rest of the way, Celebrini with McDavid and then McKinnon. McKinnon's not 100%, and they're going to run that line. Celebrini played more yesterday than anyone else in the tournament. So he, McDavid, and McKinnon will be the line that Canada, the sword they fall on to win on or lose on, because then the depth gets a bit thinner. That's how I see it playing out, Mark.
Steve, when you look at the goaltending situation, we all know when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs, you look at power play, penalty kill, and you look at goaltending. Is there an edge one way or the other when you look at the netminders tomorrow for Team Canada and the United States?
Normally, I would say that the U.S. depth comes into play, but one goalie's going to play. Then we've seen Hellebuck go head-to-head with Binnington before, and we've seen what Binnington's been able to do, not just going back to 2019, going back to last year. And the best hockey he's played all year is in this tournament. And the saves that he's made, that if the puck went in, Canada's out. 3-0 Finland, or 3-1 Finland, or an overtime Finland, or overtime against the Czechs. He's made 8 or 9 high-danger saves that would have eliminated Team Canada from the tournament. So I'm going to say the goalies are a pick 'em. Up front with Canada's injury situation, they may have lost their advantage that they had when they were able to roll 97, 29, and 87. So I'll say that's a pick 'em, and the U.S. has the edge on defense. When you've got Hughes and Slavin and Werenski and Faber and, you know, the depth that we've talked about, McAvoy. So I think that right now that edge on the blue line gives me the U.S. edge going into the contest of an almost pick 'em type game. And then history comes into play. Law of averages come into play. Yeah, we know the record going back to all these games. The U.S., I think, is ready and they're due. I think the hockey gods owe them one as it relates to a clutch moment that we've seen go Team Canada's way in the past.
We're chatting with Steve Koulias from SiriusXM NHL Radio. A pleasure's all mine. Steve's great, and I love his work. And it's awesome to chat with you, Steve, and previewing this gold medal game tomorrow. But big players step up in big moments. When you look at, you know, the anytime goal scorer market, Celebrini's been brilliant. McDavid's got 13 points. When you look at the guys that you think or would lean into, you think can have their talent meet the moment, who would you lean into tomorrow?
Well, the big guys are going to play well. Will they cancel each other out as it relates to Eichel, Matthews, McKinnon, McDavid? That leaves Celebrini as an X factor. This kid is even better coming out of the tournament than going in. If I'm a Shark fan, I'm giddier now, Mark, than I was 2 weeks ago. Like, are you kidding me? What a story. He will factor in. The way now Jack Hughes may factor in. Going in for Hughes, it was different. He's banged up. He cut himself at the infamous Last Supper in Chicago when the Devils were 12-4-1, and that turned their season around. He's been dancing. He's playing well when his brother gets him the puck. He's moving up in the lineup, which moved Kyle Connor out and even Clayton Keller down. So Hughes is now in a spot to get a better matchup. Celebrini is going to be going up against tough customers. Obviously, Hughes could be an X factor on the state side. So Celebrini will have a great game. Hughes could be an X factor scoring a big goal or getting a big point for America.
How much pressure is on Canada going into tomorrow as a team?
That's a great question. Here's how I would answer it. That would be like the Bradshaw Steelers, the Aikman Cowboys, the Jordan Bulls, the Jeter Yankees, you name it, all on one country and one team, because we don't do a lot of things well. We did beer well. We do debt well and hockey. So it's really all about these guys. The national consciousness and feeling goes as Team Canada goes, the national team. It started in 72 when that name was invented and the best on best began. When Team Canada men's win, the country's happy. When they lose, depression for days, weeks, and months to come. You talk about pressure. You take those teams that I mentioned, U.S. club teams, and put it all on the shoulders of McDavid. That's the pressure they're feeling when the puck drops tomorrow.
That is insane, Steve. We got about a minute left to play with. How do you think this plays out? I agree with you. I think it's going to be a little more of a low-scoring affair. I think if it gets more up-tempo, I think it would favor Canada, given the goal-scoring nature of the Canadians, even though they're a little bit banged up. How do you think this one plays out tomorrow?
Well, from the beginning, and I've been there, you wouldn't know me being an 87 birth, but I was there in 87. I was there in 91, 96 World Cup, at the Olympics in 2010. I think the U.S. is due. I really do. It's almost like the American women were due to kind of even up almost the gold medal chase. I think the U.S. is due to win their 3-2 game with their magic moment, whether it be an overtime or whether it be a late goal by an Austin Matthews or a Jack Hughes or Jack Eichel. So 3-2 USA, they're due to win Olympic gold, Mark.
Steve Cooley is SiriusXM NHL Radio. He'll be watching. I'll be watching. Both countries will be watching. Steve, an absolute blast. Enjoy the game tomorrow, right?
No problem. That's not a beer less on the nightstand, okay? That's just a non-alcoholic beverage.
There you go. He's the best. He's great. We're rolling right along. Weekend Morning Line right here on VSiN.
VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
It is the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. Mark Melusis with you on this beautiful Saturday as we've got a gold medal game. And how good was Steve Coolius from SiriusXM NHL Radio? You could sense the pressure for the Canadians going into tomorrow morning's gold medal matchup against Team USA. Going to be a fun one. We'll get more into that. Get the comments from Linda Cohen from ESPN coming your way in a little bit. But today, college basketball, huge landscape of games. It really is. It's been a fantastic college basketball season. The impact of the freshman, if you've not been paying attention, it's going to be a very, very good NBA draft coming up summertime. We talked about the up and down nature when looking at the likes of Darren Peterson and obviously the Kansas Jayhawks. But today you get really you sit back, relax. It's been a long winter, especially on the East Coast and in the central part of this country. But you sit back and relax, and you get two matchups today, and really three big matchups, but two matchups today that easily could be Final Four previews. I mean, it's a February Saturday, and you've got Houston and Arizona, 2-4, and then later on tonight at 6:30 down in Washington, D.C., neutral site game, you get Michigan and Duke, according to Ken Pom, the two top teams in the country in Michigan and Duke, two great defensive teams. When you look at it, the Michigan Wolverines for Dusty May, a little bit more firepower. The Wolverines are number one team in the land. They go into the matchup today on a neutral site court as a 2.5-point favorite. The total in the game is sitting at 150.5. And for the first time in 13 years, not Michigan football, but Michigan basketball is number one in the country. Here's Dusty May on being the top team in the land.
says that we have a really talented group of people, coaches, players, support staff, everyone involved that make each other better. I think if you take several of our guys away, then we're not near as good. And it's what they bring to the table. It's how we embrace each other and our strengths. As far as the number one ranking, here's how important it is to me. Someone asked me if I've ever been on a staff, and I said, I think I was on a staff that got up to maybe like number three in the country. I don't know what year. I think I remember the team. So if that makes sense, it means absolutely nothing right now. I don't know what I've ever, any staff that I've ever been on, what we were ranked at the end of the year, to be honest. I don't recall and don't really care. So it's awesome for our fans. It's cool for the energy and intensity that it brings to the games and being able to do cool things like college game day and whatnot. But as far as internally or me emotionally, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean anything for it, but he's done a remarkable job as head coach out there at Michigan. And this is a Wolverine team that I think when they hit their ceiling, and the betting market would lead you to believe, if you throw up the championship odds right now, they lead the betting market as just a tad over 3-1 in order to cut down the nets come March and late early April, I should say, in the NCAA tournament. But when you look at the Michigan Wolverines, it's their firepower, their ability to knock down the outside shot. If they're making shots like they did against Purdue earlier in the week, I think they'll take down Duke. Duke's defense has been great this season. You know, they're averaging, you know, 8 steals, 3 blocks per game. Teams are shooting a tad over 46% from the floor against Duke on the season. Cadeau is their lead guard for the Michigan Wolverines, the former North Carolina star, is really a key to Michigan. When he's on his game, and, you know, and oftentimes we've seen for the Michigan Wolverines, they're 25-1 on the season. They're almost unbeatable. They really are, because that's how good of a team they are, how well-rounded of a team they are. It's going to be a fun matchup. You can easily make the argument the top two teams in the land. John Shire has done a wonderful job with the Duke Blue Devils. I would lean Michigan in the game, laying the 2.5. I think you'll get the good Cadeau. Two great defensive teams. I think Michigan can find the offense a little bit easier than the Duke Blue Devils. Earlier this afternoon, down in Houston, the Cougars are home for Kelvin Sampson. They're laying right now, you know, 5.5, 6 points against the Arizona Wildcats. Arizona, one of their big players is out in the game, talented in Pete. He's out in the game with lower body injury for Arizona. Tommy Lloyd's team has faced a daunting schedule up until this point in time in the season. They're 24-2 on the year for Houston, 23-3 for Kelvin Sampson. They ride an 18-game home winning streak going into the matchup today. And here is Kelvin Sampson talking about the Wildcats' size.
And their size, you know, Krivis is 7'2". Awaka's 6'8", or 6'9", whatever he is, but he weighs 260, and he's really, really aggressive, tremendous rebounder, and they're really talented. So I think the strength of their team is that we prepare is, you know, we've got to get two to the ball as much as possible on post entries, and then we've got to be able to get out of those and go find a way to put a body on somebody on the shot so we don't get dominated on the boards.
Yeah, that's going to be a big time key for Houston. And earlier in the week, I kind of liked Arizona before we had a little bit more clarity on Pete's injury for Arizona. We know he's out dealing with a lower body injury. That's a hit for the Arizona Wildcats. Easily can make an argument that the talented freshman best player for Arizona and for Tommy Lloyd. They've been battle tested all season long for sure. There have been questions about Tommy Lloyd come tournament time, but that question's not today. When you look at Kelvin Sampson, here's where you look at Houston. The experience, they've got 3 starters that were on that team that went all the way to the championship game against the Florida Gators a year ago and fell short, a game that they easily could win. Sampson's done a remarkable job with that Houston program, there's no doubt. And I think you've seen that line start to trickle up and up as we go along in the week. Houston coming off a tough loss. I would lean Houston in the game, laying the points against Arizona. And then you get to the game tonight, which is Iowa State and BYU. BYU is home. Iowa State, a slight 3.5-point favorite on the road. Here's their head coach, TJ Otzelberger, on the matchup against BYU.
Yeah, they've, I mean, obviously they're a, you know, prolific offensive team. I mean, Devance's, there's not, you know, a good answer for how to guard him. It's not a one-person job. His free throw rate is, you know, the numbers are off the charts. His ability to create his own shot, score the basketball is at such a high, high, high level. And then you got Rob Wright, who's, you know, one of the best scoring guards in all the country. He's got such great speed, his confidence and his shot-making ability. And so those two guys are, I mean, such tough covers one-on-one, such difficult covers. And in transition, they're difficult, certainly on the offensive, after they get an offensive rebound. But even in the half court, they're just guys that are really difficult to guard one-on-one. And, you know, the other guys around them understand the role. They know what they need to do, and they know how they need to play, whether it's a catch-and-shoot player or a guy that, you know, is on the glass or whatever. And I think Keb Ikeda, you know, he's shown us in the past how dominant he can be. So we have so much respect for him. And especially he came in here last year on our court and dominated the board. So just they've got some really special talents. They've got a lot of pride in their program. And they're a team that we know going back home, they're going to be hungry for a win.
Are they a little bit?
Yes, they certainly will be. I think the Richie Saunders injury, a torn ACL for BYU, is going to be the thing that does the DeBance has been great. The talented freshman, the expectations was that he was going to be great, and he has been great. There's no doubt about it. I think Otzelberger did a nice job of there breaking down the BYU team. I think BYU is a home dog tonight for a reason. The Saunders torn ACL is a real hindrance to the Cougars. There's no doubt about it. Iowa State is one of those teams that flies under the radar to a certain extent. As we talk about national brands and the blue bloods of college basketball, Duke, obviously. And, you know, Iowa State is not that, but that team is really, really good. And I think they're going to be really, really dangerous come tournament time. And that game gets going at 10:30 tonight. I would lean Iowa State laying the 3.5. Baseball season is here. And if you're betting MLB, don't step up to the plate unprepared. The new VSiN MLB betting guide is out right now. Your playbook for the entire 162-game MLB regular season and the postseason, including in-depth previews for all 30 teams, a deep dive into whether money really buys championships, MVP and Cy Young award analysis, a complete stats glossary and key terms to know, expert betting insight from the VSiN pro team, plus player perspective from former MLB pitcher and VSiN host Jensen Lewis. Download the guide right now for just $19.99. $19.99, that's it. Or become a VSiN Pro subscriber and get the guide included, along with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Visit VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. This is the Weekend Morning Line. Mark Malusis with you. Huge day in college basketball as we've run through the gamut. We've had picks and selections and analysis throughout the course of the first 2.5 hours plus of this program. A little association, delved into a little NFL, and a big gold medal game tomorrow. The United States team taking on Team Canada over in Milan, Italy. The U.S. team looking for a little revenge after the big McDavid goal last year during the Four Nations, which was an NHL-sponsored event, obviously, but it was great. It was great for building the brand of the National Hockey League. And we're going to have two great nations, U.S. and Canada, waking up early, and sports fans alike waking up early tomorrow morning, 8:10 East Coast time, 5:10 Pacific time, as that puck drops over there in Italy to get to watch a little gold medal be put on the line between two great teams as the United States goes into that game as a slight underdog at plus 105. We'll get into the analysis. We'll hear from Linda Cohen and her take on U.S. and Canada. We'll do that next. We're rolling right along. We got some selections, some picks, some more analysis coming your way next. It's a Weekend Morning Line. Mark Malusis is with you right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Mark Malusis and time flies by. Mark Malusis with you. Time flies by when you're having fun. There's no doubt about it. Final segment of the program of the Weekend Morning Line before we hand it off to Ready, Set, Bet. Matt Brown, Mike Somich coming your way. Top of the hour, high noon East Coast time, 9 o'clock Pacific. And we look ahead to tomorrow morning until we get a gold medal matchup between the United States and Canada. And obviously, it's going to be fun. I mean, this is why you watch it. You wake up early, you get locked in, even if you're out on the West Coast, because you expect a great competition. That's why we love sports. I mean, is it not? I mean, you look at, you know, a little nation's pride on the line, the competitive edge on the line, a little bit of revenge for the Four Nations loss and the goal last year in overtime by Connor McDavid to win it for Team Canada over the United States. And maybe the United States team is due. They're plus 105 before their matchup against Slovakia and before the Canadians got by Team Finland in the semifinals of this Olympic tournament. The United States was plus 115 to win the gold medal. Right now they sit at plus 105. The total in the game is sitting at 5.5. Couple takes on terms of a side in total before we get into some individual matchups and hear the thoughts from Linda Cohen, who was a guest yesterday on Follow the Money right here on VSiN. In terms of the total sitting at 5.5, I'd lean the under in the game. Now, I've watched a lot of Stanley Cup playoff action, watched a lot of international play as well, especially when it comes to the Olympics and stuff like that. Usually teams, and it always doesn't play out this way, they play a little bit tighter. You know, there's not as many power plays. You know, it's not called tight, not as many penalties, not as many odd man advantages. Teams don't go out there and players don't want to go out there and make the critical mistake that changes the momentum of the game. They play a little looser. They're looking to try and put a little bit more pressure out of the opponent, go out there and make the mistake. That's why I lean more toward the under. It's juiced to the under right now. And we played a clip of Eddie Olczyk, who was on Follow the Money earlier on in the program. He thinks it's going to be more of a high scoring affair where you might be getting 7 or 8 goals sitting there. If you like that, you're getting plus 130 for your money. If you like the under, it's minus 155. So you got to lay a big number in order to get there. But I think we're going to get the under. As far as the side goes, I kind of like the United States team. I do, with the whole, a couple of reasons why. I think they're better on the back line when you're looking at the defense. I don't think there's a significant edge when you're looking at Bennington and Hellebuck in the nets for either country. And then you look at the health. Even though reports are Thompson did skate today, we'll see exactly if he does give it a go. When you look at Sidney Crosby, if he does give it a go, and we had Steve Koulias from the SiriusXM NHL radio join us earlier this hour, and said, well, we'll see what version of Sidney Crosby is he able to give it a go. Team Canada closed practice today, no media. So there was a belief that there would be some sort of announcement toward the tail end of Saturday night Italy time. Got to remember, they're significantly ahead of us in terms of time, 6-7 hours ahead of us. So especially if you're on the East Coast. So when you look at it, and we'll see exactly if Crosby's available, if he does play, what version of Sidney Crosby, and then the impact thereof if he's not able to give it a go as he's battling that lower body injury, an injury that prevented him from playing in the semifinal matchup against Finland. So I'd lean the United States plus 105. I like under in the game of 5.5 goals sitting there at minus 155. We'll get to some individual player props momentarily, but here's Linda Cohen of ESPN fame, who was on yesterday on Follow the Money.
Ever since the move was made to move up Jack in the game against Sweden in the quarterfinals, Mike Sullivan moved up Jack Hughes to the line of Dylan Larkin and Tage Thompson. And they have been dominating. I was scoring, putting the puck in the net. I was concerned about Team USA's depth going into this tournament if you compared it to Team Canada.
Okay.
But actually, how it's played out heading into this gold medal game, it's Team USA that has showed off scoring depth, getting goals from all sorts of players, while Canada is really dependent on that number one line of, you know, of McDavid, Macklin, Celebrini, and of course, Nathan MacKinnon.
That line has been brilliant. You look at McDavid's got 13 points. You look at Macklin Celebrini, the San Jose Sharks star, who's taken his game, as Cooley has mentioned, to another level during this Olympic tournament. He's got 5 goals. He's got 10 points as well. I mean, that line has been downright remarkable. And yes, Canada has been dependent on that line, but you're talking about 3 of the best hockey players in the world, no question about it. But yes, you can easily make the argument. Good point by Linda Cohen there, talking about the depth of the United States team. I mentioned Thompson did skate today for Team USA, and Mike Sullivan, we'll see if he gives it a go tomorrow morning. When you're looking at the individual markets of this gold medal game tomorrow, as our nation and both nations will be watching, in terms of first goal score, let's start there. If we could pop that board up at some here. In terms of first goal score, I think Team Canada strikes out first. I'm going to lean on the brilliance of Celebrini at 9-1, an investment that I've already made. with Macklin Celebrini. Tiger doesn't change his stripes. He's had an amazing Olympic tournament. Beautiful feats from McDavid. His ability to go out there and finish at such a young age and play at this kind of level is just downright remarkable. If I was have to pick American, I'd give you Austin Matthews at 11-1. The Toronto Maple Leaf star, the big number 34, I'd give Austin Matthews 11-1. Those are two investments I've made. I think Team Canada jumps out in front early. I'll go Celebrini at 9-1. If the United States team does, I'm going to lean on Austin Matthews as 11-1. In terms of any time goal scorer in this tournament, when you're looking at it, if I think Macklin Celebrini could score the first goal for Team Canada, yes, I do think the brilliance Celebrini is going to continue tomorrow as well. Celebrini a plus 160 for any time goal scorer for Team Canada. And I'd go Brady Tkachuk for Team USA at plus 265 as well. I can't wait for it. I really can't, you know, go USA. But I do like them. And I do like the way that the team has trended here as this Olympic tournament has gone along, and they're plus 105 to win it. And I do think we're going to get a low scoring affair. Lean into the stars to play their best tomorrow, where their talent is able to meet the mighty moment that there is. We've done a lot of college basketball here on this Saturday for sure, and you've got a triple header of big matchups today when you're looking at college hoops, highlighted by 2-1s earlier in the day, and then a nightcap later on tonight out in BYU with Iowa State, a 3.5-point favorite against a little bit of a banged-up BYU team. But the two games earlier this afternoon, one in the afternoon, one in the early evening, 3 o'clock start down in Houston, is the Cougars as a, you know, a home favorite against Arizona. Pete not going to play for Tommy Lloyd and the Arizona Wildcats. That's a hurt to Arizona. There's no doubt about it. That the line continues to tick up. It was 4, 4.5, 5.5, 5, 5.5. Now it's up to 6 when you're looking at Houston. Juice that way at minus 115. So we might even get a little bit more of a tick up here. And that's really, Houston fit great at home. They've won 18 straight games at home. They're coming off a tough loss. Arizona a little bit banged up. They played a ridiculous schedule, and you're looking at the Arizona Wildcats as well. My opinion on this game has changed as the week has evolved as well. I'm going to take the Houston Cougars and lay the 6 in this one, as opposed to taking Arizona. At one point in time, I thought it was maybe a little bit too many points and clearly take Arizona on the road. I think when you look at Kelvin Sampson, look how physical that team is. He talked about, we played a clip last segment in terms of having to deal with Arizona's size and their ability to go out there and rebound the basketball. I think Houston's going to do that as a team. They've got the vast experience, 3 starters on that team that have got Final Four championship game appearance for the Houston Cougars. So I'd lean Houston laying the 6 as that line continues to tick up. Early this afternoon, East Coast time, it's the Duke Blue Devils down in Washington, D.C., getting 2.5 against the Michigan Wolverines. Easily make the argument, 2 top teams in the land. This is going to be one, sit back, relax, as Jerry Jones would say, get the popcorn out. I mean, that is what this game is going to be all about, because it's fun. This has been a great college basketball season, the impact of the freshmen, but this could be easily, as we're sitting here in late February, a preview of what we get in a national championship game in 5-6 weeks. I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility here. I lean the Wolverines. They're 2.5. Both teams are exquisite defensive teams. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I mean, they're both great defensive teams. I think really when you look at this game, I think it's Michigan's offensive firepower and Cadeau at point. And everybody and their mother has talked about the former North Carolina star for the Wolverines, their lead guard for Michigan. If he plays his best, Michigan really, and they lead the marketplace in terms of winning the national championship at just a tad over 3-1. If Cadeau plays his best, I think Michigan is the best team in college basketball. I think he plays really well today. Give me Michigan laying the points in what should be an exquisite matchup against John Shire and the Duke Blue Devils. We got a lot of people to thank. All the guests that joined us: Julian Edlow, Adam Rosenberg, Ryan McIntyre, Brandon Kravitz, and Steve Kalias, Jared Moore. Everybody, Jared Moore did a great job producing this program. Everybody that got us on the airwaves in the back studios as well. What a wonderful day ahead. Beautiful Saturday, college basketball. We got a gold medal game going tomorrow. Make sure to keep it locked right here, because stay tuned after the VSiN morning line for Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich. Then it's Live Bet Saturday. We break down all the live action and help you spot the best in-game betting opportunities as they unfold. And then stick around late for cashing out at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Keep it locked right here on VSiN. Thanks for being with me. Have yourself a wonderful Saturday. We'll chat soon, and good luck with all your plays.